Item 10, consider and take possible action to correct callback pay erroneously reported as pensionable, which resulted in overpayment of benefits to retirees and overpayment of retirement contributions.
Okay. So callback pay, first of all, is related to on-call pay, and for some reason is always discussed at the same board meeting, so it causes a lot of confusion. This issue with callback pay is what employees receive if they're on-call, but they're called back for an emergency. They come back, they're paid at an overtime rate usually, rather than the standby on-call rate. It was determined in 1998 that it was not pensionable, but through the use of the pay codes that sometimes had multiple uses, callback pay wound up being reported to us as pensionable, and contributions were taken on it for years, as you see, until 2013. At that time, we told the county to stop collecting them. We stopped including it in retirement calculations, but we had not yet gone back and refunded contributions that were collected or adjusted retirements that had already been calculated and were in pay. There was a bit of a delay because it was part of the AB 197 litigation that, you know, we couldn't make changes to our compensation policy, and we kind of held off doing any retroactive corrections. That's all behind us now, we think. So what we'd like to do at this time is to go ahead. You were given information some time ago about how many people are affected. There's 482 actives that did contribute. There's 72 retirees that did contribute. Only about 43 of those actually had it included in their retirement calculation and would be seeing a decrease in their retirement allowance. And we expect it to be kind of a involved process because we have to go all the way back to 99, and we're making a correction, and the last thing we want is to make an error in the correction. It has to be corrected 15 years from now. So I expect it'll take at least 4 to 6 months to complete the process, and we'd like to, since this isn't really something that would just fall under our corrections policy like a one-off error. This is a much larger systematic thing that went on for years. We would like the board to authorize us to make the corrections going all the way back and in full. That means reducing the benefit amount to the correct amount for retirees. It means recovering overpayments for people that were paid too much in their retirement benefit, and it means paying back over contributions to retirees and to active members.
Karen and Gabe.
Question, Kurt, you said it was going to take 4 to 6 months. Are you going to finish the entire project before you implement, or as cases, as you, let's say in 2 months you've got 25% of them done, are you going to start then, or are you going to wait?
I believe we would, you know, as we reviewed the cases and calculated the correction, we would implement those corrections.
Okay, and my second question is, I support the staff recommendation, and it for retirees or current employees who've paid too much in, we're going to refund them. What about the employer share? If the employer has paid too much in, because it doesn't mention the employer here, and I wanted to know if that was going to be part of it.
I believe the process would be we calculate the overpayment, we give it interest, so we know as of today how much they overpaid, but we don't actually pay that money to the employer out of the fund. What we do is we give them a credit towards future contributions.
Okay. But wouldn't it sort of all wash out in the UAAL?
Yeah. Yes. But that's not the method the IRS prefers.
So at the end, you'll give us a report, let's say in 6 months, that X number got overpaid X amount, this number got underpaid X amount, and what I'm hearing is if it's an employee or a retiree, they will get it in their they'll get it paid back in some fashion, monthly or whatever, and the employer gets a credit. If it turns out that the employer is owed a credit after the pluses and minuses, I just don't see that in your recommendations, and I think we need to be explicit that the employer share will be a credit against future contributions.
Well, yeah, I don't understand why that would be. Harvey?
I'm sorry.
You only change assumptions.
At the end of every year, the actual, we don't true up employer contributions, as long as there's an unfunded liability in the system. At the end of every year, the actuary sees how much the employer's contributed. It may be greater or less, depending on payroll and a whole bunch of other things. This would simply be a gain in the calculation of the unfunded liability.
That's fine. I just want to make sure that
But it's not a credit against actuarially required contributions.
That's fine. You're saying that, let's just say the employer, whoever that is, has money in the bank after this process is done. And I'm using bank as...
No, it doesn't work that way.
Okay, so I'm not clear.
There'll be a gain to the employer, and there may be losses, but it'll all come out in the next UAAL calculation.
That's all I'm asking, is that somehow it's accounted for, and the employer share is appropriately allocated, I guess.
Yeah, assumptions are changed going forward.
That's a fair assumption.
Okay. Well, it's in the next valuation.
The next valuation.
Right?
That's right.
So at the end of the year, we value the system, and that's all based on how much in retirement dollars are going out each year and what's projected to happen.
I just didn't see the employer share addressed in the recommendations, and I wanted to make sure how that was addressed.
And just to follow up on that, the IRS has many restrictions on refunding employer contributions from the plan. So that's why that wasn't
part of the memo. Additional. Thank you.
So my question, is this any different than the previous case where Karen can negotiate with them? I mean, is this different? Any different than the one individual?
The board can negotiate with...
This way I go with the bias. Everyone. If we're doing for this one other person...
Well, isn't there the one doctor that's got a huge amount?
Yeah, well, I think we mentioned that
earlier.
$2,900, almost $3,000 reduction in monthly pension for one individual.
So how does it differ from the last case? Again, I don't want to just bias here some woman that's a widow, or some guy that had a doctor's income. Do we treat everybody
equal? Going after
him
the same, yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm assuming he gets more than $3,000, so let's say if he gets $5,000, the action would be to reduce it by $3,000 until it's made up.
Then would you do the same for the other one? Again, is it? I hate to come out and have some sort of bias on our part.
Well, the other one.
The other one has
case.
No income going forward. There's no payment.
No offsetting payment.
So
forward.
That would be a way to differ.
It does differ. Yeah, I mean, it differs certainly in that regard.
It's only on the collection part, not on the liability so much as the collection part.
Right.
It's another option, a way that we can collect money, or a source of money that we can collect to credit toward the debt.
Great.
Before we get off Karen's earlier point, I had some of the same concern about notification. Could I suggest that the staff consider at least not doing it piecemeal? This idea of getting 10% of them done and sending them out seems a little...
I thought we already sent them a memo saying...
No. No one's been notified yet.
Right.
That awaits your decision. If you decide to make this correction once the data is gathered on what exactly the overpayment amounts are, we would send written notice to all the members
en masse
impacted, I would assume, at the same time, yes.
Right. Well, that's a little different answer.
So you have identified these individuals. Either they're an overpayment or an underpayment. Can't a generic email or memo or whatever go out saying, based on board action on December 10th, there is the possibility that, and we will be reviewing this, and it's, you know, we'll notify you when a decision is made. The only reason I'm concerned about waiting till the end is that's just more money that somebody expects to be getting, and we're taking it away from them.
I'm just more concerned about this, the scary prospect of, there's something going to happen to you later on. We can't tell you now. We'll let you know later. Happy holidays.
They've identified, Jerry, who these individuals are.
I know.
Are. You're gonna
send
and there is
captured the sentiment.
Memo can say, that's what you do mail merge for. The, this amount is in question, and we are going through a review process.
I'm just concerned this is like getting a message from the lab saying, we've gotten some bad news, we can't get to you until after the holidays.
Well, then, as Joe Smith is identified on January 31st, and it turns out we have to remove money from his retirement benefit, he gets a memo saying, the reason your next month's check is X is because of.
So here's the kind of the, you're going down the same path, I think. Maybe take this in two pieces. Do the retirees first. Those are the ones that I think it's going to be the touchiest letter, because those are the folks that are already getting payments. They could, in fact, see differences in their future payments. And now you got 72 people. You're ready to send it out. You know what the letter's going to look like. And then, you know, if you're an active employee, it's going to be different. Yeah, there'll be a difference. You may get a credit in a later month, or maybe there'll be a higher contribution or whatever it might be, but you can probably live with those a little bit more than you can if you're seeing $3,000 disappear from your pension check. So, I mean, consider, at least, I'm not making the final decision, looking at those as two groups and dealing with them en masse. Retirees first.
Well, the current employees are going to get money back.
Credit, yeah. They're going to have so credit.
That's the happy before mm-hmm. Christmas letter.
Yeah.
So the 43
start
I think the 43 should be notified as soon as possible, because some of it may make a significant impact on how they go forward before a final decision is made.
I got a question for council.
Go ahead, Jerry.
I understand we're basing this on 1997 rule that said it was not included anymore. Harvey, is this defendable?
Callback pay has always been overtime pay. It's overtime, it's not pensionable.
Okay, so if this ends up in court, we have good grounds to stand on.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
My name is Arthur Liu. I'm an attorney with Leonard Carter. I'm here on behalf of PDOC, the doctors' union. You've seen me and the doctors here before on this issue of callback pay and sort of how it's been accounted for in terms of pensionability. And I'm actually not, perhaps this is something that Kurt can clarify. I'm not quite clear if the callback pay being considered here is solely the physician callback, or we're talking about other pay categories. And I'm directing my comments towards physician callback, which I want to correct the record slightly, was in fact decided could be pensionable in the post-Ventura settlement agreement. So physician callback was a category that CSERA, the county, agreed that was listed pay code that was pensionable in those instances where it was scheduled. The problem was that there wasn't a distinction being drawn by the county between the scheduled and unscheduled callback pay. So I want to point out that these folks, the physicians in particular, are in this position through no fault of their own, that they reported their time in the manner that they were told to report it. So they were using one pay code for all of this time, regardless of whether it was scheduled or unscheduled callback time. And, I mean, neither CSERA nor the county had any problem with collecting the contributions and paying out the benefits with the inclusion of all of this time. And there's also been, quite frankly, no explanation for how this error came to be, why it was that CSERA didn't catch it, why it was that the county did not catch this. Now, PDOC only represents the active employees, so I do want to say something with regard to retirees, but I can't speak for all of the retirees, but I do have some thoughts on that. As far as active employees are concerned, I think that the recommendation is correct, that they have overpaid contributions, and because they're not going to be getting the pension benefit, they should get that money back along with the interest at the assumed actuarial rate that's been applied over the years. And I believe that's consistent with the member interest credit policy that the board has in place. As far as correcting overpayment of benefits with regard to retirees, I just throw a couple things out there for your consideration. I mean, one, I think is already being addressed somewhat, and that's the fact that retirees have no idea that this is going on. And I think that it's important that they have some kind of notice as an issue of fairness before you even take any action here today on this issue in terms of deciding that you are going to seek to recover past overpayment. Because I think that they do need time to plan, they need time to understand what exactly the board is considering and how that might impact them. Second, I think that instead of penalizing the retirees, which is what a retroactive adjustment would amount to, I think that CSERA can take action under Government Code 31542.5. Now, this provision requires the county to properly report compensation earnable to CSERA and allows CSERA to assess the county for the cost of adjusting or correcting mistakes that are made when the county knew or should have known about those errors. And I think in this case, the county obviously should have known that it was not in compliance with the agreement, the settlement agreement, and the CSERA policy regarding the reporting of this time. That it wasn't, for example, you know, doing what Central Sand does in scheduling, differentiating between its scheduled on-call and its unscheduled on-call work. So I think that the county should be the one bearing the cost of correcting this mistake rather than attempting to collect money from the retirees. The last thing I'd address is the potential limitations period that applies here. And I would note a couple things. I mean, one is that even with regard to some kind of misrepresentation or fraud committed by a member in order to gain benefits, the outer limit in the statute is 10 years. The other thing is that there's a 3-year statute of limitations on actions to collect unpaid contributions and for money mistakenly paid out under the Searle. This is all established under the Searle case law in cases, for instance, like the Marin County Association of Firefighters versus the County of Marin. And this is also consistent with the statutory limitations on how far back money can be collected for the LA County system, for CalPERS. I think 3 years, that kind of 3-year limitations period would be one that'd be appropriate to apply here. And I think in no event should CSERA be considering going back 10 years or beyond that kind of time period. And I guess to add one more thing is that for the retirees, I think that to the extent that the board does decide to try to recoup overpaid benefits, they should be presented with a variety of options for how that money might be paid out or might be collected going forward, including the possibility of having their benefits going forward actuarially adjusted to include the overpayment amounts and the appropriate interest that's figured in there, rather than simply saying, you know, you have to pay us this lump sum amount right now.
Well, no, I want to address staff. I thought in here somewhere, or maybe that was my question, would, whether it's PDOC or not, or all the affected retirees, it would be, it wouldn't be a lump sum. Would it be deducted on a monthly basis? I think that would be.
I mean, it's each individual's situation. If they have the money sitting over here and they want to pay it off.
Well, true. I guess that's the question is, will there be options? We won't be demanding lump sum payments. We can say if you want to pay it off in a lump sum or you can have it deducted. Would that be part of what your recommendation is?
Gabe and Jerry.
As part of the process, say the county or the employer says we did code it wrong, they come back and recode it. Is that an option? In other words, if I understood him correctly, he said that we were putting under the same pay code as when we shouldn't have been. Does our process go back and say, are these hours were under the, should have been under this under pay code that would be pensionable?
Well, this is non-pensionable pay, overtime pay that was reported to us as a pensionable item.
Right.
I believe the county's already corrected that and is not reporting it
as a pensionable item.
There were doctors that started to use the weekend rounds pay code for weekend rounds.
Remember when they came, Gabe?
Yeah, I do remember. Are we going back as...
Well, and I specifically asked them, you need to be the ones reporting correctly, because I think we all agreed that on our callback, once they got there, they were doing...
Yeah,
whatever, and they needed to. So it,
right.
You know.
But if we're going backwards, are they going to be able to go to us and say, those hours now that we've changed the code, now we're doing it correctly. Those X amount of hours before were under that as well. Now we want to change them.
So are you suggesting that they might come back and ask for a retroactive reclassification of a non-pensionable item into a pensionable item?
I'm not suggesting asking. Is that an option that we may see? Since we're allowing them to do it now going forward.
Well, they have an obligation to report it correctly in terms of what type of pay it is for what type of work it is.
At the time, they thought they were. But now we're telling them, no, that's not the way you should have done it. You need to correct it now.
That's already been done.
Right.
The county's already corrected it going forward, is my understanding.
I can see it being an issue saying, you know, okay, we made a mistake, we corrected it, but we're making a mistake all along, so a certain part of those hours should have been coded this way. So it was the employer's mistake for doing that, and therefore we can correct it using our reporting number. Is that an option today?
Not sure I follow.
If I may, are you saying the employer today would go back and correct and break out the non-pensionable pay they reported in the past
from the pensionable ones?
So that's what the staff is doing to come up with how to quantify that amount. So there's nothing for the county to do. That's what we're doing to come up with what the correction has to be.
I thought Mr. Liu said it was all coded under a single code.
Yes. So they have to break out of that code that which was true overtime and that which was mandatory time.
Okay, and they are doing
both of those were popped into the same pay code.
Right.
So we're going to break out
the
overtime portion.
No, it was all non-pensionable.
Oh, okay.
Well, pay.
Then that's 100%.
I'm not following why we're trying to split up pay into two categories. I'm not following
right now they've split the pay in two categories. They reclassified, I understand, right? They're saying from what he said now, we understand that was
no. They code callback time as non-pensionable item.
Okay.
And I think there's county representatives here. If they want to speak to that and confirm, or they may have questions, you're welcome to jump in.
Well, I can say Hodge the Hall, office on the Auditor Controller's office. When Kurt first notified our office, I assume it was about a year or so back, that our call back.
Up on mic.
You want me to come up there?
Sure. You want to get it on tape? Yeah, they're running the tapes. Can't hear you.
Again, apologize. Hodge the Hall, Office of the Auditor Controller. We were reporting all callback as retirement compensable, and that was in our system, set up that in our system for years. Kurt and Cesara sent us a letter indicating that callback should not be retirement compensable. We provided some information. We had some back and forth conversations. It was determined that Cesara made the determination now that callback was not retirement compensable. So that at that point, we stopped reporting it as retirement compensable countywide. As far as the doctor's situation, I don't have all the information in front of me on what exactly happened, but I know they were using codes that were retirement compensable. So Sarah, upon reviewing some PDOC members that were retiring, questioned some pay codes and made a determination that they should not be retirement compensable. And I don't think our office has been that heavily involved yet. We may have provided this information. I believe they talked to Health Services Department and gotten timesheets, but we have not reviewed any of that information. So that's what I have.
I wanted to make another comment, and that is that we work closely with tax counsel on these issues and corrections, and something was mentioned earlier about having asking the county to make the system whole, and that is actually one of the things that our tax counsel suggested as an alternative, that the IRS the IRS would like to see the system be made whole, and to do that, you can do that with a payment from the employer. So that is a possibility.
Okay.
Jan, I'll send you a memo on that.
Let's just say
a point was made that I think needs addressing. I really don't know if the retirees who are involved with callback pay really know what is going on, at least all of them. I mean, those who are truly interested in what their retirement is, stay focused and stay on it and ask questions. But I really haven't been aware of anybody except hazmat people, and I haven't thought about the docs or other people that are involved with this. So, I'd like to make a motion that we continue with the discovery of who is involved. And once we have the who is involved, that we mail a you all come letter for an educational presentation to this is what is going to happen and this is why it's going to happen, the same way that it's presented to this board. And then at that point, we proceed with the rest of these recommendations.
Jerry, they do know. The gentleman is here, and we discussed this. I remember Dr. McDonald here. I remember other doctors coming and talking about how this should be pension compensable. And that's one reason the county has changed its pensionable versus non-pensionable codes. I don't disagree that maybe they don't know it's on today's agenda, other than this gentleman is here, so they do know. But it's been before us before. It's sort of like we're cleaning up everything that's been hanging out there for this last year.
I'm only here on behalf of
I understand that.
I'm not necessarily in touch with all of the retired doctors or in a position to provide them with notice.
Are all these 43 people doctors?
Not all.
No.
This issue has never been in open session before.
I thought it
had. It was discussed in closed.
Let me clarify.
Issue of this callback miscoding. Karen?
To clarify one thing that Jerry is addressing, the 43 retirees that have been identified have not been given notice that this issue exists. And one alternative that maybe what Jerry is seeking is to decide that the next step will be to provide them with written notice and an opportunity to come before the board.
Yeah.
This is a systemic error. This is unusual. This is something that's gone on for many years, and that is certainly a possibility.
So, and I'm not opposed to that. So my question would then be going to, because I was going to ask this earlier, and then I thought, well, maybe it's sort of a due process, given what we were talking about with the previous item. If we were to give notice, can each case be treated on a case-by-case basis? Because one individual may have had, there may have been a reason for this, and another it was not. I just need some clarification on our legal responsibilities or options, I guess is the better word. If we give notice, then should we go through this due process?
This isn't the same process. This
okay.
isn't the same due process consideration of the other item where you're looking at assessing whether there was an improper increase and whether you should be reducing. This is a clear error that it's a different category. However, the board still has that same level of discretion that we talked about earlier that Harvey commented about in terms of, do we look at individuals, do we look at circumstances, their ability to repay, or I think Harvey suggested from his experience with other systems that when you have a systemic error like this is that impacts many people, to treat everybody the same. The board may think otherwise.
Why can we, following up on Jerry's concern, is alert these people, and then we need more information about what is the dollar amount? Because I'm not opposed to sending a bill to the county or having the discussion that the county may need to look at this, but we need to know what amount we're talking about, and maybe that's the next step direction is to have to table these recommendations and find out what exactly we're talking about, and then make a decision then on whether we take these recommendations or, and I'm just loosely using that term, of sending the employer a bill.
And you're referring to both the overpayment of benefits and the overpayment of contributions, or just the benefits in terms of
I'm concerned about the retirees because the current employees, you know, that seems, well, maybe you should if you're going to do the whole thing. I open that out for discussion.
Are you suggesting that we would continue to overpay retirees that have currently retired under this error, continue to pay them out all the way through until death, or are you?
That's what I don't know, because
there's different alternatives you could do.
No, I do not, by policy, I do not want to continue paying people more than they are allowed. But given what Jerry's brought up and the gentleman representing PDOC mentioning that the retirees haven't had a chance to talk about this, we're opening up and saying we want to talk about it. I think that's what I'm hearing.
So perhaps one alternative would be to do all of these things except for the recovery part from retirees and determine what that cost is and present that bill to the county? I'm just trying to understand.
Well, that's it. We don't know. That's where I'm confused. We can take this action. It's unilateral, over and done with. But I'm listening to others that say, hey, wait a minute, there's folks out there that don't know. They, for whatever reason, I would like to, it just seems we need more fiscal information.
How about if, and I'm just throwing this out for discussion, I'm not making the motion.
No, that's all right.
But what if we made a motion to go forward with item 4, 5, and 6, because those all, 4, 5, and 6 all affect active employees? Mm. Would that be correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So if we move forward today and said let's go forward with 4, 5, and 6 recommendations, and then staff comes back to us with the magnitude of the cost of, you know, how much are we going to try to get back from retirees? What's the cost of that?
What's
the cost of letting them go forward? You know, payouts all the way through their beneficiaries. That's a big that's an actuarial calculation, by the way, which involves the actuary, right?
I'm not sure if you mentioned, would you like written notice to be sent out to the 43 retirees about this issue?
I think they need to have a chance to know what's going on before we take action on it.
Is that part of the motion?
Lab calling.
I'm not sure if you need to make a motion.
We could discuss all day what the scenarios might be, but I don't think I'm hearing anyone say, except one person just kind of hinted at it, that we're talking about continuing to pay retirees erroneously. So I think I'm hearing.
I'm not in favor of that, but I'm just not sure that that's what I'm hearing.
Neither am I. So what I'm suggesting is, could we also look, and I realize it's just throwing out yet another scenario, is if this notification goes out to 43 individuals, it says to them, we have found this error, and effective with your next payment, we are no longer going to pay this erroneous amount.
No, this is for actives, though.
No, I'm talking about the 43.
He's talking about the retirees.
Oh, the 43. I'm sorry.
That's item one, right?
You know, we cut off the tail at that point. We don't. We just say that's done.
So
but we
one,
also
five,
are letting you know that
six.
We also need to discuss what the recovery options may be for the past overpayments.
So 1, 4, 5,
and we're notifying
and
you that we're discussing those options and letting you know. But in the meantime, this explains why your check this month has changed.
Now, is there any more due process, or are we done with that? I mean, do they have before we do that, do we have to hear from them?
That's what Karen said, no, but.
Okay. I mean, I'm hearing we're rectifying an error, right. And so I'm not sure what the person's going to come back and say, well, you need to perpetuate your error. I understand why
they can say, no, you made a mistake, that's not an error, and then we say, oh, yeah, you're right. I mean, is that a possibility that maybe we missed something that they know we don't?
But we already had those hearings, didn't we?
Well,
no. That's what I thought.
I suppose anybody can say that.
Retirees. Brian says they were all in closed session.
Well, this...
We had them here.
What's contained with regards to this issue and the 43 people and the overpayment and the miscoding, we've only discussed in executive session. We had the discussion with regards to the doctors and their call back pay, really being on call pay.
Right.
That's a separate issue. Some of those may fall within the purview of these 43 affected people or 72 affected people. But yeah, we have to deal with an error that was made. Everybody agrees it is an error. Are we going to perpetuate that error by continuing to make payments on amounts that shouldn't be paid on? So.
And I'm thinking we don't perpetuate the error, and instead we notify them we've stopped that, effective with the recognition that this is an error. But we're also notifying you, by virtue of this letter, paragraph 2, that we're talking about the overpayments and what we are going to do to recover potential overpayments.
All right. For instance, a retiree who is in this category doesn't know that it's happening and gets this letter and says, oh my God, they're taking money away from me. I have no recall to take care of it. If he is notified before we cut off the tail, as you say, then they have an opportunity to get an attorney and say put a stop to it until it can be argued out in court. And there may be a retiree out there that wants to do that, or a group of retirees that wants to do that, and thereby still maybe getting the money that you think they shouldn't get because you're saying this is wrong. They may think that this is right, and they want to argue it in court.
Them from taking legal action.
Yeah, they have that
they
right.
They can take legal action after we take our action.
They would have
after
that
After we
right.
take our action.
They have that right.
They can come in and ask for a temporary injunction, I would think.
Out of respect, though, we just say we're cutting you off and too bad and you never had a chance to tell us your side of the story. Something doesn't fit right with that.
Well, what we could do as far as the notice or the letter is say that give them another month before we adjust. That way at least they have some notice. They can take any appropriate action they feel they want to.
So effective like their February 10th check?
Yeah, right.
That would be fine.
But can we do what Jerry said, too? I mean, send a letter out saying that
you are the people
this overpayment, and as of this month, we are going to start stop that overpayment. On this day, we are having a meeting, an informational meeting regarding this overpayment. You are all invited to attend when staff is ready to come back and tell us what they're doing.
Thank you.
Long meeting.
Just so that we could keep things moving, I'd like to make a motion that we send the letter out to all active and retirees that are affected on this matter, but simultaneously that we move forward with recommendations 1, 4, 5, and 6 with a 60-day implementation date.
I'm not in favor. I'm speaking against that. I'm speaking against one. If you want to do 4, 5, and 6, that's fine. But I'm speaking against one because that does not afford the opportunity for the retiree.
She said six with a 60-day implement.
So it'd be like
with
February 10th.
60-day implementation?
Yeah.
60 days from the date of the letter.
Can we accomplish that in within that time frame?
Me, Kurt?
We're going to send a letter, explain to, well,
explain,
one,
the error.
Explain to these 43 people
everybody
the amount of their pension should be, and right, that we're going to correct it.
And if it's 60 days effective with their March 10th check, so that would be January and February, give or take the 60 days, and it would take effect March 10th, which gives the staff time to, with that caveat.
And you can get a meeting.
I
just want them to be informed.
And then we'll take this up at the end of January, beginning of February. They can go get a lawyer if they want. They can come to our board meeting.
Right, and have it presented to them like the end of January or the February meeting.
So I'll second
meeting.
Deborah's motion.
So I'm not sure I thought you said earlier it was going to be 4 months before you knew.
No, not for the benefit amounts. We know the benefit amounts. The 4 months is going back to 99 and exactly calculating the over contribution amounts and interest on those.
So what we would be talking about in this letter and this 60-day implementation would be only items 1, 4, 5, and 6, and we would be moving items 2 and 3 to future date when we've got better data on what these numbers
that
are.
That sounds fair.
Yeah, I like that approach.
That
perhaps
sounds fair.
We present that to the county
that sounds
as well.
Fair.
Right.
I support that.
Okay.
So
everything's on the table.
That.
Good.
That sounds good. But again, can you implement that? Can you get a letter out? Can we have a you all come meeting before all this goes boom boom?
Before the March 1st.
Yes, from me.
Before the axe falls.
Yeah.
Kurt.
This
can
is
we do
team,
it?
Team, so.
Christmas Eve.
I don't make the agendas.
Deborah, can we do I mean.
Deborah.
Gail, can we do it?
I'd like to move that we have name tags at the next month's meeting.
Anything's possible.
There you go. I like that.
There we go.
Glasses right. Have to.
I'll support the motion, and it seems fair. I just want to point out that we passed it about an hour ago, a new policy on how we're going to treat these. And it says when a member has been overpaid, CICERA will adjust the member's monthly benefit going forward to the correct amount at the earliest practical time after discovering the error. So, I mean, I just wanted noted that we just passed this, right.
And we just figured out it was 60 days.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. could go faster, but I'm just pointing it out.
Practical. A special accommodation because that's we're fine. Dealing with retirees. Yeah.
Thank you.
I just wanted to point out we're deviating from the policy.
Yeah, but
that's fine.
Group.
No, we're not.
We're just defining what reasonable time is.
That is what's practical.
With the initial print, I know it says we have then the option. I'm just getting it out there. It's not the earliest time.
To respond to that, I think the policy is a great guideline for the correction of this error, but because it's a systemic error applying to more than just one individual, the board is certainly within its discretion to do something different, but we do want to use the policy as a good guideline and a consistent way of dealing with errors generally.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, what the impact of the person who's going to have a change of 30 cents a month as
right.
opposed to the one that's going to have
the $2,900.
Like I said, I support the motion.
Just for the sake of it, it's March 1st, not March 10th.
That's right.
Well, no, it's the 60 days.
Yeah, but
is,
the pay day, we get paid on the 1st, not the 10th, retirees.
Oh, retirees. Okay, yeah. Well, fine. 10 days after <That
does. laughs>
Okay, so the motion is to implement 1, 4, 5, and 6 with a letter going out, effective date of the prospective benefit payments will be adjusted in the March 1st check. And the letter will go out. We'll have another meeting.
With a date indicating when they can come and have a you all meeting.
Yeah, we'll have a meeting with regards to this issue prior to that effective date.
Yeah.
And we have a person.
No, you can't.
Is that all right, Gail? Yes.
Karen, did you
Brian,
second?
I think there may be a correction of your numbering there, which numbers you included.
I said 1, 4, 5, and 6.
Yeah.
That was
well, not 4.
I think there's a question about number 4.
Well, the motion is 4, 5, 6,
motion.
And 1.
That's
mm-hmm.
what I thought.
Right.
That was to active members.
This is active members.
Is it for active members?
Four, five,
so
five,
Kurt is clarifying that for number 4, that the calculation of the over contributions
that's
will take longer.
That's fine.
Is that correct?
Yes.
So that can't be done immediately.
So well, that's fine, but you can still, we're saying go ahead and do it.
You can yes. start moving the process forward.
Right.
And my intent with the letter was not to have exact numbers for each individual beneficiary of what their individual impact would be, but the 60-day letter would be to explain the situation, explain the changes that are moving forward.
For the retirees and the reduction in their
for those
benefits,
43
we are going to be able to have amounts correct for the letters
benefit amounts yes
benefit amounts
so that would
yes.
be great
okay. but
okay.
we're not going to be able to have contribution amounts
that's
calculated
fine.
In time
so
okay.
so the letter would include something to things. The actives saying this change is coming and we're not exactly certain what the
actually we probably don't need to send worry about sending a letter
right
to
this
actives.
Was just a retiree
this is just,
this is immediately just going to affect the retirees
okay.
and their benefit payment the retirees are also going to get an adjustment for overpayment of
right.
contributions which needs to is going to need to be calculated down
right,
the
right that's three
right
right
that's
but
where
it,
it's pending
so I think the only action that we're really taking is
1, 5, and 6
yes.
Okay.
No, I think we want four because we're giving direction to move forward on that 2 to 6 month analysis and decision.
Right.
So we still want to remit to active members, and let's take that action.
Right, but that's not going to happen in 60 days.
No,
no. That,
no,
that
because it's going to take him too much time to figure it out.
So that's a separate piece of the motion. That's not going to be included in the 60-day letter.
Well,
okay, that's fine.
Yeah, my motion is to move forward with 1, 4, 5, and 6, but the letter will go out with a 60-day notice to retirees on what impacts them. How's that?
Got it.
Sounds good. Okay.
With a date for when we're going to have this on the calendar.
Yes.
Right.
Okay. Yes.
Okay. And build in 60 meeting. Days for staff to be able to.
Will you please
distill
send me
this
that letter?
Discussion into minutes?
Yeah.
Maybe 90 days.
Okay. All those in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries.
Days.
Hallelujah.
Speaking of abstention, we take a vote.